even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Through the season of Advent and Christmas, and up until this point in Epiphany, the Gospel of Luke has told the story of the identity of Jesus, who his ancestors were, the significance of his birth, and the presence of the divine. Luke has let us in on who the boy Jesus was as he was asking uncomfortable, challenging, and even interrogating questions of religious leaders of his day. Luke invited us to the banks of the Jordan River, where a voice from heaven spoke to Jesus, saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." Jesus was then forced into the wilderness, only to emerge from the trials and tribulation, to be filled with the power of the Spirit. Beyond doubt, God has claimed Jesus, has chosen Jesus, has filled Jesus with God's authority and God's truth. What we don't know, and what we want to see with our own eyes, is how this Savior, this Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, will live out his identity with God in the world. As the local synagogue in Nazareth fills up on the Sabbath day, in walks a familiar face. And while Jesus is a grown man, others present recognized him, identified him as the child who grew up in the synagogue. They may not remember, or they may have remembered, his mischief as a kid, his frustrating questions directed at rabbis, or that he was always kind and polite. However, that morning, they may have noticed something had changed. After all, Jesus was a public figure now, whose reputation was spreading through the surrounding country, and while those who knew him at a young age, they did not know him now. It was as if he was a new person. Anticipation lingered over the crowd. What message would Jesus bring them? Would it be an authentic word of God, or was he full of it? Was he an imposter? But if he really was one walking with God, what was God's vision? And how would Jesus live it out? This last question is a question we are called to ask, maybe every day of our lives. How does Jesus live out God's vision? A pandemic, growing inequality, a mental health crisis. And so with those attending on that Sabbath day, and those of us tuning in on this Sabbath day, verse 20 says, every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. How will Jesus live out God's vision? Now, an ophthalmologist will tell you that when you fix your eyes on something, as people were on Jesus, you are triggering two main components of your field of vision. You are using your central vision, that is to see very fine details such as your cell phone, road signs, this worship service on your screen. For it is your central vision that helps you with everyday tasks and certainly helps you in identifying others. The second component to your field of vision is your peripheral vision, which goes to the margins of your field vision, to about 170 degrees. Peripheral vision allows us to take in large scenes without turning our heads. It allows you to observe things out of the corner of your eye. It is why peripheral vision is a powerful tool for both parents and grandparents watching their children. But more important, peripheral vision is paramount for us to perceive things happening around us. Yes, it may not be as clear. It can be discomforting to rely on this vision, but it helps us hone in on the whole of our vision field and maybe pick something new to make central. It is clear that those in the synagogue had good central vision. They could see and recognize Jesus. They could even see that Jesus had changed, that he carried himself as a new person. In their personal lives, they could see God in the love of those right in front of them, their family and their friends. They could see that God cared for them. Why else would they be there at worship that morning? However, Jesus speaks to the congregation not to praise their central vision, but to challenge their peripheral vision. Jesus turns to his Jewish roots, to the scriptures, as a source of discerning the will of God. He unrolls the scroll that is handed to him and reads from the prophet Isaiah. And you can turn and follow along with Jesus at home if you turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus reveals how his mission will fit squarely within the tradition they know and love by reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me." Remember, the Spirit has filled Jesus, has empowered him to go out and begin his public ministry. Jesus has been anointed for the sole purpose to bring good news. To who? The Jews, Gentiles, Romans, or Nazarenes? To bring good news to the poor. Not to those who are seen all the time, not to those who hold privilege or status, but those on the margins, those in the periphery. And so Jesus reads on, "God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus makes it clear that God's work through him will be to expand the vision field of others, to reveal that God's love is present and very active on the margins. That for us to follow Christ authentically, we are to travel outside of our comfort zone and make the peripheral vision our central vision. Notice, for Jesus, this is not because Jews or Gentiles, scribes or Pharisees aren't worthy of God's liberating love. But if you can see God's love in the margins, then as the mystic Richard Rohr puts it, seeing has been achieved. Or in the words of Jesus will use, the kingdom of God will be established. Jesus' entire life and ministry is to reveal that all lives do not matter until the lives of the poor matter. All lives do not matter until the lives of the oppressed matter and are free of their oppression. This vision is centered on right relationship with everyone. And for Jesus and Isaiah, it must begin with those who are considered outsiders. So as the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus will live out his identity on the margins, as one who is marginalized, living the politics of a marginalized body, which, as we know, he will die on a cross, a form of execution reserved for the most marginalized. So if we, the church, are in fact the body of Christ, then we, like Christ, are to be with those on the periphery. Yes, it may not be as clear. It can be discomforting at times. It involves risk-taking. It may take us out of our element. But this is what Jesus means when he says, "Drop your nets and follow me." This is both the great risk and joy of discipleship. Yet as it was in the time of Isaiah and Jesus, God calls us to the margins to join God in the work of salvation and redemption precisely because it is needed work in the world as it is today. This week, as we celebrated one of the Christ figures of our time, Martin Luther King Jr., we also witnessed the tunnel vision of a state governor pushing for legislation that would prohibit public schools and private businesses from, quote, making white people feel discomfort in discussing racism and discrimination in the nation's past. What happens when we silence the voices and experiences of those on the margins for the comfort of those who have claimed the center? What happens when we numb our discomfort, which actually may be the tool we need for reconciliation? Just this week, we saw the possibilities of extending voting rights to the peripheral, only to fall short of the necessary votes, as some in public office who knowingly benefit from the system as is would rather suppress voices of those on the margins than to recognize their identity as made in the image of God, worthy of voice and vote. Some say, so what? It is only voting. However, it means that the lived reality of those policies, this politic, may manifest in life-threatening ways, in poverty, in sickness that has no health care or medical care offered, the perpetuating of racism, xenophobia, and a bolstering of wealth for the wealthy. And you can hear it today if we listen. Those voices from the margins saying, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me." The season of Epiphany moves us beyond the mere identity of Jesus, but to the way Jesus lives out that identity, the ways in which he reveals God's will in the world. So if we, the church, truly are the body of Christ today, then when we get together, when we worship together, when we study scripture together, when we fellowship together, we are challenged by Christ's vision that places the divine presence in the margins, knowing that once our eyes can see the entire vision field of the divine, then we will know the truth that God truly is everywhere and all-loving. This is surely good news for the poor and everyone in between. Thanks be to God.